press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to taste in
the shade and tea to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Ooh, that's a tweet. Did they book?
Who got nominated?
They optioned no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today? Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama.
Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
Love Island,
and life.
I am Connor.
And I am Dylan.
Hey, it's a twin talk, Dylan. I know we just did one right after the Tonys, but literally so much has been happening, and we just had to take it to the mic, just us twins.
Well, the real reason that we immediately wanted to jump on the mic, actually, is you had texted me and said, I'm sobbing at the end of it just like that. A show that is an absolute mess, by the way. And I said, we're recording immediately.
You did. Dylan, what is there to say about this show? It's a fever dream. It's bizarre as hell. Almost none of it makes any sense. At any given moment, the characters are doing things completely out of character, with the exception of one, in my opinion.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, obviously we're talking about Sex and the City, the reboot.
Right.
We talked about it probably on here a bunch. Packed with Broadway alums, by the way. So this does tie in to drama. Okay, who do you think is actually in character?
I think that Kristen Davis as Charlotte has been fully in character. And she is a story that I love following week to week.
You're so funny.
Isn't this random?
Are you saying it should only be about her and her Upper East Side or Upper West Side life?
Not necessarily, because obviously I'm always most interested in SJP / Carrie, like what's she doing? What's she wearing? What's she writing about? How is she having this strange reaction to everything that's happening in her life?
That's always been Carrie.
It has. But the problem is this Aiden storyline is rotten to the core and I don't give a shit about it. I just want to see Carrie going on dates with hot guys or even not hot guys. I just want to see her dating.
I picture Carrie this season to only be in this Gramercy apartment. It's become this other character. It's more of a character than New York City is. I understand the show is probably logistically very difficult to film. People are always gathered around. They're watching. I mean, paparazzi will follow, you know, and we've seen the outfits online before the episodes even air. But I feel like Sarah Jessica Parker has primarily been in this apartment and where? Virginia? West Virginia?
Virginia for two episodes, right.
But I will say in the Virginia episodes, we got to see friend of the pod, Jason Schmidt, which was funny. But otherwise, I'm listening. I think that Kristen Davis is in character. The show is still obviously missing Samantha. Seema has lost her groove. I don't really care about what Miranda's doing.
I mean, she's pretty normal for all things considered with Miranda this season. She's kind of the most leveled out of all three of them, plus Seema, plus LTW. But I agree. I don't really care about her dating this gal. And I don't really care about her searching for an apartment. These things should be way funnier and more fun. And I just don't understand the tone that they've taken with this show at all. Like, it's really cringe. I mean, Dylan, we watched the episode together where Miranda was living with Carrie.
Oh my God.
Miranda kept like taking the last banana, taking the last yogurt, taking the last Mexican Coke. Oh my God, Dylan, it's so cringe.
Spilling on the table. It's funny to laugh about and talk about, obviously. I think that a big issue, and there are people who love the original series and have seen it multiple times. I've only seen it all through once, would probably have more to say about this. Was the original series more like, I don't want to call it bottle episodes, but like contained episodes? Because I do feel like, and just like that being 10 episodes a season, they do more arcs. And sometimes it's like the first four or five episodes and the next four or five. I remember the original one, there'd be like Samantha had a different person she was maybe seeing. Carrie had a different column that she was writing about every episode. It just felt like
they all did.
Then you were able to see more in the city, more things going on. You still get that. Like obviously with LTW's dad's funeral, that being a contained episode, which, oh my God, the snafu.
Oh my God.
The writing snafu.
I can't even believe. How does Michael Patrick King, the showrunner, just forget three seasons in that they had a character's opening line be about when my dad died, and then they kill him off in season three? Somebody told me that he was in a season two episode and no one noticed it then.
He was at a dinner party episode, apparently. Listen, I give them only credit in this regard. I don't remember anything, you know, minor that might have happened in the first two seasons either, just because, you know, they've been spaced apart and.
Yeah, well, so true. I mean, due to COVID, due to the writer's strike, et cetera. But to go back to what you were saying about Sex and the City, it started out that way. The first several years were, you bounced around every single episode of different stories. Obviously, like, Carrie had her longer running arcs with her several different boyfriends she dated.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the seasons were longer. Each gal would get arcs, but they'd reset and they weren't all just doing the same thing per season in the HBO way. But I think this show is just everyone is remembering Sex and the City that, you know, there's a different date every episode for one of the gals. There's a different something work related or silly and stuff. So yeah, I can't stop watching it regardless. I really don't know what's wrong with me. And I did sob at the end of this past week's episode where LTW's father passed and Charlotte reveals something to Carrie and a Dwayne Reed. And that's all I'll say. I mean, we've all had a breakdown in a Dwayne Reed, to be honest with you.
Hey, now. No, I agree with you. I think that what I'm tying this back to Broadway in that I would rather just see all these women on stage in a fun play.
Well, SJP did do Plaza Suite a few years ago. I don't know. I feel like Cynthia Nixon is pretty busy with Gilded Age and this. And Gilded Age is kind of like a Broadway show just on every Sunday night. Does that count? Are you caught up, by the way?
I've yet to even start it. I think that's my plan for tonight after
after
we hang up the microphones, I'm going to watch The Gilded Age. So now that we got that immediate burning pressing news out of the way.
I had to, because we have not talked about the season, I don't think, at all on the pod this.
No.
This summer, something seismic shifted in the Broadway community last night, Dylan.
I know.
Soda Scout has left Paramount. Tom Francis has left the St. James. He did his walk on 44th Street for the last time ever.
And what a moment. You know, it was this incredible Broadway debut. He won the Olivier. He did one podcast over the course of the 2 years, and it was drama. Actually, okay, I will lie. He did two podcasts. He did ours, and then he did Amber Davies' podcast from, she won Love Island season 3 UK, and because she's a West End girl. But he did one Broadway podcast, and it was ours.
Wait, what a gag.
I knew he was going to blow up and it was going to be a moment for him. But what's funny about it is, and that's why I love that a show opens in the fall and then has this long runway. His star, the show's star, Nicole's storyline, Grace Hodgett-Young, David Dax, New York audiences really got the chance to know them, fall in love with them. The walk became such a thing. You know, it garnered this fan base, which most Broadway shows do garner an interesting fan base. But what was interesting about this one is, unlike last year, which I think had the buzziest fan base, was The Outsiders, where it was mostly young people. This one was maybe a mixed bag of all ages of people. I mean, present company included.
That is such a good point. And it's making me think about how these shows that don't get to live long truly just don't get to build a fan base. Look at maybe Happy Ending. They've been running since the fall and they have truly built such a fan community. I mean, shout out to their social team and their marketing and everything, because I feel like they do such an amazing job of building community. And to your point, like, these shows that don't have long runs don't get a chance to do it. Look at these much loved shows like Boop, like Real Women, Smash, whatever the reason might be that they aren't marketed well enough. They don't catch on with audiences. They're not produced in a way or funded in a way that lets them live a little bit longer. It's really sad because I feel like they could also have these long runways that take them through like a year long run. In my mind, Dylan, when we were kids and like, obsessed with Broadway, it just felt like things ran so long. Whether that's true or not, I'm totally misremembering. I'm like one of those nostalgia accounts on Twitter.
I know. Well, we got really into Broadway during a really exciting time. And then 2 years later, the recession happened and long-running shows all did close. Hairspray chiefly being one of them. I don't know the answer to your thought as if things really did run for long periods of time or not, but it is just really sad. I will say one show that did really get a following, and I saw so many TikToks and tweets about it, was Dead Outlaw. You and I missed it.
Totally missed it.
But it had a lot of, I mean, the people who were mourning its loss when it closed on the 29th was wild. That is sad. I do feel like there's a shift happening right now in New York theater, in Broadway in general, with, you know, a bunch of theaters are going to be empty soon. You know, in May, had Redwood stayed open a little bit longer, all 41 Broadway theaters would have had tenants for the first time since pre-COVID, at least. I mean, because, you know, the Palace was closed for a long time.
Yeah.
Call Me Izzy opened or started previews on like a Tuesday or Wednesday, and that Sunday prior, Redwood closed. So we've yet to hit the 41 again. But I would hope that we will. This upcoming Broadway season, the slate of shows hasn't really been as public yet. Looking at, you know, what's coming up ahead, and I tweeted about this, I really think that the economy is going to reflect a lot about what we see on Broadway, and it's going to be revivals.
Look at that. Mamma Mia already has its marquee up. Its original theater is coming. We've got Beetlejuice coming back.
Heathers is now on the off-Broadway scene again. Chess is making its long-awaited, you know, revival that people have been like waiting for and clamoring for a long time.
Looks like Jamie Lloyd's Evita is coming sooner than we thought.
Yeah. And then Ragtime, of course, was already announced.
Cats the Jellicle Ball. And allegedly, the rumor mills are saying Sound of Music at Lincoln Center. So
right.
It is all of these much loved pre-existing properties. You're so right. I think people want sure bets. They know they're going to spend their money on something that, you know, it's either a title they recognize or a star they recognize. And something like a Dead Outlaw just isn't going to last, unfortunately. I know. It's really sad. That's why I'm interested in, you know, the rumors that Two Strangers Carry a Cake across New York is going to pop over here from the West End, which we did drive to Boston to see it when you were here. We took a day trip, which was a long trip. That was the most traffic I've ever experienced in my life. But worth it. Totally worth it.
So worth it. You know, my hopes might have been dashed, though, because today they announced this Laurie Metcalf, Scott Rudin produced play. More on that, another podcast that's going into the booth in October. And I had the rumor online was that Two Strangers was going to go into the booth in like late October, early December. Because I will say it's a Christmas musical.
Yeah. They don't tell you that, but it is.
Right. Obviously, the booth is going to be taken. Not to say that it might not have a limited run and then Two Strangers comes in later, but we've seen small musicals in big theaters before. I would say the ART theater that we saw Two Strangers in was pretty big. I mean, it's only one level, but it's like, it's not tiered, but it's like deep.
Mm.
I really hope that it comes in though. We talked about it on the podcast back in January or February. I fell in love with this musical in an organic way. One of the songs showed up on my Spotify Discover. And Connor, I listened to it like every day for at least the first 3-4 months of the year.
I know you were absolutely obsessed. I'm so glad we went to go see it. It was amazing. And Sam Tutty is so adorable and what a star. He's so funny. I hope he has a Broadway moment. If this isn't it, he deserves because wow, his charisma, just all of his Britishisms, everything. Like he really ate. I loved that show. It was so good.
Yes, I completely agree. And you can tell that he has it in his body. Like he's been doing it for years. I mean, the voice, though, is incredible.
Beyond. Those like first two songs he sings, incredible.
Yeah, New York and Dad.
So you know the whole track list, Dylan. Yeah. You're fully in the Two Strangers. This is an example, though, of a show like a maybe happy ending that I think a fan base would just like swarm around and love. It's about young people. It's a small musical. There's literally two cast members, you know? So
yeah. It's very rom-com. I wouldn't say it's like When Harry Met Sally vibes, but it kind of is at times. The ending, of course, I sobbed. But for anyone who is a fan of the musical, has seen it on the West End, or has listened to the cast album, I am excited to announce that there are a lot of changes that were made specifically to the character of Robin. A lot of her songs had different lyrics, verses, melodies. I mean, they changed a lot about her like 11 o'clock number, her song This Year. Her whole characterization, I think, was like majorly tweaked. I don't know what's going to stick or necessarily why they made those changes, but as someone who like literally has every line of the album memorized, it was shocking for me to hear different lyrics.
Well, it was hilarious to, you know, hop in the car after the matinee and for you to be like playing the songs and explaining this to me in real time, stuff I never would have noticed, but that is kind of a gag. That's why it's fun to see shows in development throughout or know them, because like, what's that line in Spring Awakening? They changed a lyric in Whispering. Okay. This is me digging into my like guilty ones. Like,
yeah.
Memory box from way back. But the last line in Whispering, the Wendla Act 2 number is, and he touched me and I let him love me. So let that be my story. But allegedly, the original lyric was, and he touched me, and I let him love me, another summer's story. Which, I mean, which one of us had a Facebook album?
I mean, it was me.
Called Another Summer Story. I mean, Duncan Sheik, thank you.
I think our friend Anthony Suhe still says Another Summer Story to us in response to things. No, I agree with you. Tracking those changes is so fun. I'm going to say this. I hate when a show doesn't make any changes from like off to on. They're like, oh, it's just ready.
It's lazy.
It's fully baked. It's crazy. It's like being precious with your material in a way, because "Oh, Let That Be My Story" is a stronger line than "Another Summer Story."
Right. But "Another Summer Story" is inherently more iconic.
Right.
That's why I like that, you know, Almost Famous, their team is like, no, we're not done. We did this on Broadway, but we want to keep changing our show. Like, let's keep it pumping, you know?
I know.
Or how, like, when they updated Company with the revival, Sondheim was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's change these lyrics. It's so fun.
Well, Sondheim was the master of that. There were so many different verses. If you read Finishing the Hat or Look, I Made a Hat, he includes a lot of the changes that he made specifically with Into the Woods. I think we talked about this with Kyle Selig a little bit. And that's so cool. I love that it's like a constantly evolving and changing art. And so Two Strangers, You Still Have My Heart. The minute when it ended, and I'm so happy you loved it too, but my biggest thought was, I want to see that again.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I was smiling ear to ear.
Hopefully you will. Hopefully they bring it to Broadway or to New York in some theater, you know? I mean, I would be happy.
Yeah.
Not New World Stages, but somewhere else.
Yeah.
I wonder where. We'll give it a think.
What about like the Minetta Lane?
Could be fun. The Minetta Lane. The set is pretty big though.
The set is pretty big.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That has to be taken into consideration for sure. Where else have I mean, it could be at the Orpheum.
That could be cool.
I feel like the Orpheum's having a tough go with getting people to go all the way down there.
Yeah.
Like Big Gay didn't last that long. Jonathan Larson Project didn't last that long.
We'll see what happens with Ginger Twinsies, which, by the way, we are the Ginger Twinsies. Or is it just twins?
No, it's Ginger Twinsies. I know. And I messaged a few people that I know who are involved in the show. And I said, we are the Ginger Twinsies. Anyway.
It's in their court. If they want to reach out and do a brand deal with Drama, they're welcome to. So actually, the same day that we saw Two Strangers Carry a Cake, we were two twins driving a car back to New York from Boston, because we had to get back, park, and put on our Sunday evening best to go see Broadway Bears, which we went to the midnight show. What an experience.
Have dreamed about going to Broadway Bears, probably since those old days of being, you know, when we first fell in love with theater back in the day. It was like, I knew about The Legacy Robe. I knew about Broadway Bears.
Period.
We knew about a Broadway.com blog. You know, these were like the essentials.
Easter Bonnet.
Yeah.
All the flea market.
Yeah.
All these, like, I guess they're all sort of BCEFA related events.
Totally. And wow, did it live up to expectations? First of all, the line to get into the midnight show, as everyone leaving the 9:30 or getting in line for the midnight one, was the hottest gay club in New York ever. It was a CNBC scene event.
Hot in two ways, because I believe it was like 90 degrees at midnight. And also, everyone was gorgeous and truly had on their hottest apparel.
I mean, we saw so many friends. We saw so many friends of the pod. We saw fellow podcasters. We saw strangers we'll never see again. I mean, it was truly such a fun community event. And y'all, if you've never gone to Broadway Bears, you have to make it your priority to at some point go. It is so fun. This year they did a Wizard of Oz theme with it. I mean, Joni Mitchell's a genius, tying it in with Between the Wicked Parts and everything, obviously. But it fits so perfectly for a show because you know the characters and themes they're going off of. And friend of the pod, Bradley Gibson, played like a Dorothy role.
He was kind of like the lead.
Legit. But Dylan, it was so fun. Was it what you thought it would be like?
Yes and no. Like, yes, it was crazy and fun and the choreography was amazing. I think I thought I'd be able to see it better. Like, I don't know if I would necessarily want to be on the floor again next year unless we were literally right up front, because we're short kings. And a lot was blocked. Maybe if we would have been in like just a slightly elevated perch, just to be able to see the full scope of the numbers. But I will say, I will never regret being that close to see Nicole Scherzinger perform Buttons by the Pussycat Dolls live with the cast of
gag.
Sunset.
Absolute gag. I'm actually glad it was ruined for me ahead of time, because I needed to be prepared for understanding the moment that was about to come. Like, that's crazy.
Crazy. And what I love about Broadway Bears, too, is I had been told it was a no phones zone, which it was. Everyone had their phones out. But what I loved about it is they don't film it. Like, it's not something that you can be like, oh, I'll just catch the live stream or I'll just watch it later. Like, you have to be there, which is obviously prohibitive, you know, accessibility, all that comes into effect. But it's an intimate thing. People are literally pretty much naked. People are watching. It's all for charity. The numbers.
Oh, my God. The choreography was insane.
Yeah.
I loved it.
So many friends of the pod were performing throughout. I mean, we tagged them all in the Instagram story. And at this point, Connor, over 300 episodes, it's hard to keep up with who's doing what and everything. But it was nice to be surrounded. We saw James Scully, Jan, Jackie Cox, Rob Houchin again.
Brad Gibson, Mimi Scardula, Phil Colgan, Nick Rashad Burrows.
And tons of people who I hope will be future friends of the pod.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it was an amazing, magical experience. To me, it was one of the Pride highlights.
Ooh, for sure. And you know what? Even though it's at midnight, the energy is so insane. And it's a tight 90 minutes. You can't go wrong. If no matter which show you want to be at. I feel like we're doing unpaid promo for them right now. But like, such a great cause and such a great event. Can't wait to go back again next time. I mean, seriously, it was...
They emailed with a... Did you get the email?
No.
Oh my God, I got this email from BCEFA that was like, we'd love for you to be an ambassador for Broadway Bears next year, which is AKA just like help us spread the word and get people to come. And it said, we have a tentative date of June 21st.
Love. So. Well, listen, Mark and Michael. Now, Dylan, we got some breaking Broadway news today. Montego Glover is going to be the Mama Rose Sunday alternate.
I love
How
it.
How exciting.
Audra wants her Sundays with her kids to rest, you know, enjoy the summertime before they hypothetically go back to school. I'm making all this up. But I think that it's a great idea because she should have had an alternate the whole time. When they did Hello Dolly a couple of years ago, Bette Midler did all eight until they opened. And then Donna Murphy started alternating in on Tuesdays. I get that. With Audra, though, she's been doing this since November, December.
Oh my God.
And giving it all.
And it's not a cakewalk. She is like killing herself on that stage every single night. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy for her. And I'm happy that it gives another Broadway performer a chance to lead a show in such an iconic role, especially in a production where Black women have not historically played Mama Rose ever on Broadway. So,
and now three have, and I've got to celebrate that.
We mentioned Evita at the top about being a West End transfer, which originally they were saying 2027. Now, they're trying to like capitalize on the hype and potentially come to Broadway by 2026. Do you think that means like winter leading into like summer? Or do you think it means next summer? Do you think it means fall of 2026 to lead into 2027? Like my mind is spinning. I mean, give it to me now. Like send it to me, Rachel. Zegler. Like, Show it to me, Rachel Zegler. I need it. And our friends Kyle and Jimmy saw it this weekend and they said that she is just phenomenal.
Tyler Joseph Ellis saw it today, I believe.
Did he really?
Yesterday. Yeah.
Oh my God. Everyone is going except us.
Listen, we're due for a London trip.
Dylan. No, if anything, we would have gone to see Nicole and Sunset way back, but
yes, yes.
There was too many London trips happening that year. I went KYK. But Dylan,
right.
I am so excited for Rachel. I feel like she, between starring as Maria in West Side Story and then starring as Juliet in Romeo and Juliet, and then a couple other projects here and there, you know, she was in like that one superhero movie. Then she was in
Snow White,
which she was amazing in. I feel like her first Broadway musical doing this role, I mean, she really has these iconic projects under her belt at like such a young age. And she deserves it.
And the talent to back it up. I think a big thing that really helped her career too was that Hunger Games movie. I think it proved her as a bona fide star. It's like, that's I'm going to sing in this and people aren't going to be super annoyed. You know, that's always the test, right? It's like when Ben Platt sings in something, we're like, okay, we know. But so, yeah, no, I am hopeful that Evita comes. I personally kind of want it to wait. And there's just so many other amazing revivals that are coming in this season. And I want to give everybody a chance to have their dance. The buzz is real. Riding in on this would be incredible. But I mean, why not let it have a longer West End run first?
I think it's because the Palladium is already booked.
Now, Connor, is the Palladium near where we stayed in London, where we would walk past? Because the difference between West End and Broadway is Broadway is all contained within a 14 block radius. And then the Vivian Beaumont is like way uptown. But the West End, it's sort of like they're smattered all throughout like the neighborhood. And I can't remember if we walked past the Palladium. We can always look it up later.
I know. It's killing me that I can't remember what was there when we saw it.
Yeah.
Okay. You've convinced me. We can wait. All good things come to those who wait, for sure. So the other hot topic, Love Island.
It's time. We've been chomping at the bit to talk about it. But obviously, Connor and I are obsessed with Love Island USA. And we text all of our friends about it. But I'm sure a bunch of you are watching it too. Talk about drama.
Legit. I mean, for those who have not watched this season yet, I'll just tell you, it's not that good. But what is fun is the community aspect of just talking with people about these crazy people, this cast of characters. I will say this season has way less stars than last year. I mean, last year was like a half dozen, if not more, genuine stars.
Yeah.
So people you cared about watching every single week, their storylines, the twists and turns I never could have imagined. Actually, if you're bored this summer, go back and just watch season 6 of Love Island USA. It's pretty great.
And they're getting their own spinoff reality series. Who knows what it's going to be like? That's just proof there's enough stars to carry that. I think one of my biggest issues with this season of Love Island is you're not watching people falling in love, and you're not, you know, I remember watching in the past and like, I would literally get like butterflies watching the flirting happening, or, you know, you'd see their love story. You'd want to see them go on a date and close things off or have a romantic makeout session on a Mallorca sunset while an Ellie Goulding song plays in the background. That hasn't been the case with this. There's been no hideaway. So the couples aren't, they've gotten intimate. We know they have been because they literally will gently show it in like shadowy frames. No one has gone off to the hideaway because no one is that serious. There's been the same amount of recouplings from what I understand, but they put a lot of the trust in the producing to the cast, to which Islander will you send home from the island? Whereas in the past, it was primarily up to the public. And so this most recent, like in the last week or so, was one of the first times that we saw what the public was actually thinking about Amaya, about Ace, Taylor, all these different people. And then they sent home 5 contestants in a crazy moment. It's just been a strangely produced season of almost like a game show, reality show, not a love, like a dating show.
That's such an excellent way to talk about it, because I agree. It feels like they have given up on it being a love connection show, which is crazy considering there are like 4 couples from last year that are still together, right? Is it 4? And those personalities are incredible. I feel like this season they were like casting based on who they thought were going to be great personalities and drama. And that's kind of what they're hoping for. And that's what they've gotten. So it's certainly been interesting in that way. But you are so right. I've missed that butterfly feeling when hearing an amazing song playing and all of that. And we've had 2 cast members now removed from the villa for social posts that involved racism.
Yeah, so that's, I think, the thing that we wanted to talk about.
Definitely want to talk about that. It's interesting that the crime and the punishment have technically been the same, but in very different ways. The first girl that was removed was like on podcast being a racist and blabbing her mouth, like proven track record. And then the second girl that was removed literally yesterday, 30 episodes in, having one of the strongest connections in the villa.
A week away from the finale.
A week away. Had used a racist slur a couple times in social posts, and they were both removed without explanation to the cast, without explanation to the audience. And it just, it's such an odd way to handle it, in my opinion. Like, obviously I don't want a racist to win all that money or get fame and notoriety and stuff, but I feel like we're X number of years into like the cancel culture world, and haven't we figured out a better way to handle people who have like made racist comments or unknowingly done things on social media, or like things have been dug up from their past? And I'm not saying, I'm not defending either of these gals, especially not Ulyssa, but it's weird to me that like the producers or the network, et cetera, don't have better systems in place for handling stuff like this. I don't know. It's really weird.
It's a containment issue. It's similar to with like Big Brother, you know, they're gone for that. I mean, Big Brother, it's even longer. This is just like a month and a half, or just under a month and a half. What would happen if they were to tell her, hey, you're being canceled publicly online, you need to address this either on AfterSun, or we're going to let you put out a statement? Then she'd have to go and tell the rest of the island what's happening. And then like when I call it a containment issue, it's like they don't talk about politics on the show at all. They have on the UK one a little bit, talked about views and man's place, woman's place, things like that before. But I think they tell them you can't, if they do talk about it, they don't show it. And there's obviously a lot we don't see. We see an hour, you know, of they're there 7 days a week. But it is deceiving us as an audience when you're pulling people and just saying they've left the villa for personal matters or personal reasons, and then not explaining it. It's like, don't shit on the floor and tell me it's roses or whatever that phrase is. Like, she left because of something bad. Let's use this as an opportunity instead of just pulling the weeds out. Like, let's have her then speak about it. Put her on AfterSun. you know, this week, or a very special 10-minute segment at the end of the episode.
But Dylan, you brought up an amazing point. What the public thinks of the cast has not been shared this season. And I think it's because, remember when Megan Thee Stallion went in and like she was talking about like, be nice to the cast. I like to talk about them too, but they're just people, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, the network is very tuned into the online conversation about how people talk about the cast and everything. It's toxic as hell and honestly weird behavior. Like, leave them alone, kind of. Like, they're characters on a TV show to me personally, even though they are real people, LOL. But I love the challenges when they're reading tweets from people, or they're finding out what the audience thinks, like in real time, in the middle of it, not just like by votes, like they're hearing what people are saying or what people have said in the villa and stuff. This season just cut all that. They didn't have a movie night. They didn't really have anything that called back to other seasons of Love Island. Maybe they're trying to put their own stamp on it in a way.
Or the newspaper clippings from Casa.
Love that. I love that one. But allegedly they're doing the baby challenge, which, come on.
Yeah, no one likes that. I agree with you completely. I think that it was a mishandled production on many, many levels, from casting to execution to story producing. I feel like we've been deceived as viewers. I'm obviously all on board with people who are racists and homophobes or whatever it might be, not being given a bigger platform. But if they already had the platform, I believe that we as a people who should be able to listen and learn and help people listen and learn, we should be given the chance to watch them do it, as opposed to an Instagram story that I'm sure Sierra is going to post over the next week or so.
So who's winning? Who do you think?
I don't know. I think Hoda.
I mean, she's a star.
Talk about one of the few stars on the show this season.
Her arc has been incredible, watching her.
Hoda, not Charlene Ace, not Taylor and Clark. I could also see Amaya winning solely on her carrying the winning couple over the edge.
I could see Amaya and Brian winning. They have such a great connection. And I think the audience is behind her 1,000,000%. At this 4th of July barbecue I was at, like, everyone was just gagging and raving over Amaya. Like, they love her. I will say,
she's
Pepe
so funny.
Is my man. And I like
no
this.
No surprises there.
I mean, who's shocked? He and...
And Nick is mine.
Okay, no surprises there. And yeah. I could see Pepe and Iris winning. And I also could see, if Nick and Alandria really take this connection where we think they're taking it, I think there's fan support there. So if they're voting and...
The Nick and Alandria thing, I just have to say, it's giving Maura Higgins and Curtis Pritchard on UK when they both fell out of their major couples towards the end, but they were both such big stars and they knew how to self-produce themselves to the finale. They didn't win, but Curtis was a star on Strictly Come Dancing and other reality shows. And Maura is obviously the host of After Sun. So there's a way to make your way all the way to the finale and still have some notoriety.
That season of Love Island UK is unreal. Maura Higgins, that's Tommy and Molly May, right?
I think so.
It is. And Amber and that really hot Irish guy that she got with.
Yeah, who I do follow on Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know.
I just think because the USA show finally became mainstream last summer with Ariana Maddox hosting, all of the stars and the actual drama, they were batting against 100 this season to try and live up to it. And I just think it's been an absolute mess. And shame on them. Take a break, recover. Fire your casting team, try again next year. And everyone in the meantime, go watch last summer's USA or the Maura Higgins UK season and see what the show could actually be. The good news is summer will only be halfway over by the time this show ends. And there'll be so much more summer to watch and enjoy. Speaking of another show that's ending like way sooner than I expected, Drag Race All-Stars 10, which we haven't talked about too much. It's ending on July 18th.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We just got to the semifinals with 9 queens.
And only one more is going to be eliminated, maybe two. And then there's going to be the Lollapalooza SmackDown for the crown. That's going to be similar to last year on All-Stars 9, where the queens all were lip syncing against each other in the brackets. And
oh,
that's basically what's going to happen, I believe. I almost wish we just got a full regular season of Drag Race now, All-Stars, and at least cut it down to 4.
I feel really conflicted about this.
I know. Granted, we've seen a lot of these queens on... I mean, it's been a lot of television.
Yeah, you're right. It has been a lot of television. This just feels, again, very unusually produced. How are we supposed to crown someone in the All-Stars Hall of Fame if they filmed 3 episodes, took a 9-month break, filmed 2, and then had a lip sync. Like, I want to go on a journey with this queen. I do feel like I've loved this season overall, but it's really weird. They brought them back 9 months later to do like a snatch game and then eliminate them all in a lip sync. That's weird. I hate that.
Yeah. What is the next challenge?
I have no clue.
Oh, it's a talent show.
Oh, there you go.
Imagine how tired we are with those talent shows. Hunter and I were like, okay, so half the queens are going to do their next single. And then the other ones are going to do the same talent they probably have done before in their regular season or on a previous All-Stars. So I don't know. I love the show so much.
It's been a great season. Otherwise.
Yeah, it has been a joy to watch. And the fatigue of too many episodes hasn't really been felt because it's been contained into these little like mini seasons.
Okay, so Dylan, we've talked about a lot of things, but I'm wondering if you have a dose of drama. For the listeners who have never heard an episode of the pod before, we like to end the show on this. This is that little pop culture tidbit we connect out of our brains. Obviously, we've shared a few today, but anything else that you just want to leave our listeners with? I have so many things in my mind, but the one thing I just need to say is Lorde's Virgin album is that girl.
Connor, I have still not listened to it.
What?
Didn't it come out when I was in New York with you?
Yes. Okay. So it hasn't been that long, but I'm shocked because you loved Pure Heroine and Melodrama.
I did. Hunter's been listening to it. I've heard a few of the songs and I've liked what I've heard. I just, for whatever reason, can't bring myself to just listen to an album all the way through. There's just been so much going on.
Dylan, it's 30 minutes. It's a 30-minute album.
Oh my God.
You can do it.
Okay.
I'll put it on and then I'm like while I'm taking a shower and it's like halfway done. I'm like, oh, it's crazy. Wow. It is so good. I would say it is Pure Heroine meets Melodrama, but in this quote unquote older space.
Oh, I like that.
There's a chilling lyric where she says Pure Heroine.
Oh my God, literally just gave me chills. Okay.
She's back. And I'm kind of mad that I didn't get tickets to see her in concert.
I do feel like Lorde is an experience. You saw her once with Muna.
Oh, wow. Wow. I did. She was bleach blonde.
Yeah, that was during her like Secrets from a Girl, Solar Power era, right?
I guess it was 2 years ago at this point, but she performed Silk Chiffon with Muna randomly. That's and right. She was years past Solar Power, so I don't know.
Mm. Okay, well, I promise you I will listen. Okay, my dose of drama. I teased on the Kyle Selig episode how excited I was for summer blockbusters to come back. And so far, they have not disappointed. I saw 28 Years Later, which was amazing. My favorite of the franchise, definitely. And Jurassic World Rebirth was, in my opinion, a blast. And it starred a woman, a gay man, and a black man.
And a Latino family.
And a Latino family that haven't been in any of the press and marketing. Loved that so much. Oh my God, wait. I was just thinking about this. With 28 Years Later, the first one came out in like 2002, 2003, 2004, something like that. The second one was like in 2007. And then this next one obviously was 2025. This scattered release calendar is reminding me of the comeback.
Oh my God.
Which is my actual dose of drama. The news broke on the Friday of Pride weekend in New York. And it was like a light was lit inside of me. I am so excited. It is one of my all-time favorite shows starring an absolute icon, Lisa Kudrow. And I'm eager to see what they do with the writing. One thing is for certain. In the promo, she's already filmed. She's still Valerie Cherish inside.
That gave me full body chills, Dylan. I know, it's still in her body.
Yeah.
It's going to be so great. My only thing, I hate to be that person. It ended on such a perfect note.
I know.
With season two, a perfect note. But I have faith.
What do you think? I mean, I guess we'll have to talk about this later, but what do you think it's going to even be about? Because the first season, she was going from a longtime sitcom star who had joined a new sitcom and was sort of having a career revival.
And they were doing a documentary about it.
And then the second one was herself producing a documentary about her playing herself in a prestige drama about her experience on that sitcom reboot that she was
doing. Well, it was about the writer's experience.
Yes. Yeah. I don't even think I explained that right. It is that complicated, but it is so funny.
No, you did. I don't know. They could take it truly anywhere. TV is her world. So I'd be surprised if they took it to film. That feels a little bit like a big jump, but I think we're definitely going to see Val on TikTok. I mean, how can we not?
Oh yeah, there's gonna be like a character
gonna do that.
Who's gonna like help her getting on social media. I think that's gonna be a part of it for sure.
Oh my god, I can't wait. And someone else was like, there's been a new season in every decade.
Oh, that's
that kind of gagged me.
So gaggy. Oh my god.
I know, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And maybe Lisa will finally win her Emmy for the comeback.
That would be the epic conclusion to it all. So that's my dose of drama. The comeback is coming back.
And everyone needs to listen to Virgin by Lorde. And last thing I will say is I'm seeing Operation Mincemeat at long last. AKA, it's been on Broadway for 3 months and I just haven't seen it yet. And I am so excited. And I'm going by myself. I'm going by myself to see Operation Mincemeat. And I keep giggling to myself, thinking about how I wish I had captions for Derek Tony's performance. So we'll see how this goes. Pray for me. It's like a Suffs. It's like a Hamilton. When there is a musical with so much information being thrown at you and history, I get so caught up and my brain is already in three other places when I'm watching anything. So it's so hard for me. But I'm going to, Dylan, I promise you, I'm going to try so hard to focus.
I would recommend, there's definitely a fun, I don't know if it's a director's note or what in, or maybe a story that was in the playbill. Read up just a little bit about the moment in time, because it will help add a little bit of context.
All right, I will. And y'all, there is so much else to still discuss, which Dylan and I are going to talk about on our Patreon at patreon.com/thedramapodcast, because we recapped some of Dylan's most recent trip to New York, but he also saw Stranger Things, The First Shadow, John Proctor is the villain, and so many other shenanigans, plus a full episode filled with all the other shows that we saw. And we do twin talks like this on our Patreon a couple times a month. So definitely go subscribe, become a member of the Drama Plus fam. It's $5 a month. And you'll get all this and more. So we can't wait.
Yeah. And then you'll be added to our Instagram close friends, which is where Connor and I literally talk to some of y'all daily in the DMs. So you're truly part of the drama fam and we have a blast doing it.
If you're not following us, definitely go to Instagram, go to Twitter, follow at the drama podcast, and go to TikTok and follow the drama pod _.
Wait, no. I have, no, it's just the drama pod.
Oh, okay.
I have incentive for people to start following the TikTok, because due to a recent brilliant idea by Connor, there's going to be TikTok exclusive clips from our episodes. So if you like to watch us talk to our guests, and you know, we release at least one clip per episode, there's going to be an additional clip on TikTok only. So you're going to have to follow us there for the extra drama.
That means we're really going to have to follow through on this promise, Dylan. So,
yep. So
I love it.
So there.
Well, this was so much fun, but it's time to go now. As I say on our on our Patreon episodes. Y'all, I hope you're having an amazing summer. We love you. Thank you so much for listening.
Yes, thank you all so much. We love you. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.